After months of winter, spring planting is right around the corner. According to Adam Arstead, agronomist for Golden Harvest, corn and soybean farmers could be faced with some challenges as we head into this highly predicted wet planting season.
Yeah, so one thing to keep in mind is residue management. As we come into the spring, there was a lot of fields that were harvested late. Maybe there wasn't a lot of field work able to be done on them last fall with that late harvest. And one thing to keep in mind with residue management in this spring is that whether you had a corn chopping head or whatever implements you have on your operation that are able to manage residue, the goal is to get that residue sized into smaller pieces, basically broken down mechanically so we can reincorporate it back in the soil so the microbes can break that residue down and release nutrients back into the soil, as well as creating a more favorable seeding environment so we can get good planter furrows to have good planting to get good seed-to-soil contact. So obviously, corn chopping heads in the fall, whether it's vertical tillage here in the spring, we want to create that environment for good seed-to-soil contact, avoiding residue that isn't broken down, because if it's not, it can cause hairpinning, obviously, with planters. And then if your coulters, your openers aren't sharp, that can also be an issue. Or if your trash whippers aren't adjusted correctly, it's tough to manage residue if you have those things. You want to just brush away that residue with your trash rippers or row cleaners. You don't want to disturb the soil too much. And that way we can get a nice even emergence in the spring. And that's a huge deal as far as yield potential when we have uneven emergence, whether it's from uneven or poor conditions at planting, which we may face this spring since it could be wet. That's something we want to try to avoid. The other thing would be when we plant into wet soils, we can end up with sidewall compaction, which kind of smears the wall down in the seed furrow, and that could restrict root growth later on in the season and even right away, and can cause some major problems as far as yield potential, standability, and the plant's ability to go mine for water and nutrients. So we want to try to avoid that if we can and wait till the soils are fit to be traveled across for compaction reasons. As well as just plantability reasons.
Obviously, moisture is a concern. How can growers test the soil or know when it's appropriate to start field work?
Yeah, it's somewhat of a feel game. I know that there's some university information out there that some say if you can make a worm of 5 inches and it doesn't break apart, it's probably not fit. You know, there's some old wives' tales, things you can use as far as soil ribbons go. But that's one thing I've heard. But generally speaking, if it's too wet out there, the farmers usually can tell. And we just don't want to have any subsoil compaction, which can cause long-term damage. And so that's one way to tell, as well as just keeping an eye on the surrounding area as you enter the field, too.
Adam, you kind of already touched on compaction, but what about maintaining sufficient sulfur levels or soil health in general?
Yeah, so sulfur is one thing to keep in mind this spring. It's a nutrient that helps the plant be able to utilize other essential nutrients more efficiently. So boron and potassium, in addition to those, sulfur is also a key nutrient that helps in nitrogen uptake in plants. And if you have a sulfur deficiency, usually you can identify it pretty early in the growing season. And even before planting, soil tests can show where your sulfur levels might be. And the deficiencies can happen when the plant's handing off uptake from the seminal root system, from the seed to the nodal root system, which is the root system that'll be the one the plant uses the rest of the year. Sandy soils or soils with low organic matter are more prone to sulfur deficiencies. So pay attention to your sulfur levels if you have those scenarios, as sulfur can leach out in those sandy soils. And then, of course, low organic matter soils can be more prone to be deficient. And as far as sulfur goes, depending on yield goals and soil type, a typical range for a full season of sulfur application rates, it should be between 20 and 30 pounds of sulfur. Obviously, every situation is a little different, But ammonium sulfate, ammonium thiosulfate, and potassium thiosulfate are some options. Remember, sulfur is just as mobile in the soil as nitrogen, so a single application may not be the best option. We might want to try to make it closer to tasseled if possible, if you have the right equipment. But another rule of thumb could be every time you make a nitrogen application, make a sulfur application at a ratio of 10 pounds of nitrogen to 1 pound of sulfur.
And are there any leaching concerns for this year?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a lighter soil and your soil can be prone to water movement rapidly through the soil, you could have leaching issues with soil mobile nutrients such as nitrogen and sulfur. Heavier soils are probably less prone to leaching, and so just depends on the soil type mainly. And where we have a lot of water sitting and ponding, that's not as good either. We want to get that water moved off the field, so we need the soil microbial activity needs oxygen to complete their mineralization. And so we want to just make sure that if we can, if you have drainage, or, you know, not everybody can tile fields or not every field is tiled. But, yeah, that'll be definitely a concern this spring. And so keep an eye on that if you have lighter soils.
Adam Arstead, agronomist with Golden Harvest.